Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bert Show.
I don't know if my attitude about golf mirrors America or not, but it goes something like this. I don't care. But when the Masters is on yesterday, I couldn't stop watching. That's the only golf tournament I'll watch. And we talked a little bit about it earlier this morning.
It's like the Super Bowl. People don't care about football, but they tend to watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, like, and if you don't know anything about golf at all, what you need to know is the Masters was played over the weekend. It's a four-day tournament, and it's the one that anybody that has ever put a golf club in their hands before wants to win the Masters. That is the dream. In baseball, it would be like hitting a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth in the World Series. For golfers, the Masters is everything.
All to get a hideous jacket in the end.
Oh, it's a beautiful green jacket, man.
No, it is not.
This place, it's such an exclusive club. And they do everything with such tradition. It's just an amazing tournament.
I love that they check everybody's phone before they walk in. So every, because like when you're watching the Masters, nobody has their phone out. Nobody's filming anything.
You're not allowed to have your phone.
You can't look at your phone?
No, they check. You can't have a phone while you're in. You have to check your phone before you go into the Masters. So when you're watching it on TV, everybody's just in the moment, actually watching the golf match.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's a really, really cool tournament with so much tradition, and everybody wants to win it. And Rory McIlroy won it yesterday. And if you spend 30 seconds online today, spend it watching Rory McIlroy win the Masters and dropping to his knees and uncontrollably crying after sudden death on hole 18 yesterday.
Journey is over. McIlroy has his masterpiece.
It was an amazing moment. He hasn't won a major in 11 years. He just won the Grand Slam, which means there are four big, big tournaments in golf that you want to win. That's called a Grand Slam. This is the one that's eluded him for so long. And you could see when he won it, the 11 years and the pressure of finally winning the Grand Slam, you could see it melt off of him.
It was really wholesome to see. And he runs immediately and like grabs his daughter and he wraps her in his arms. And you can just see the relief off his face. I mean, this man has probably thought about this tournament single day for the last decade. And the fact that he's finally won it and he gets to wear that stupid little blazer, I know it's going to make him real happy.
It was awesome. Watch it today.
I don't watch a lot of golf, but I do know like that moment of when all of that pressure is on and it's super quiet and you got to get your swing right. It just seems like you need a level of concentration in that you might not need in other sports.
And he had a chance to win it on 18, man, and he missed the putt, and it wasn't that long a putt. And I'm sitting there going, no, I don't know anything about this guy. All right, Cassie, all the signs were there for you on vacation, so you finally got it done.
I have been wanting a tattoo for actually a very, very long time, years and years, but I never had anything that I felt like I wanted to commit to on my body long term. It just, everything that I would have thought like originally a fleur-de-lis because I grew up in Louisiana, it kind of fell by the wayside. A wave because I love the beach, now I love the mountains. So I'm glad I didn't get that stuff, although my husband has pointed out they're markers of chapters in your life of who you were. So I was driving home from my parents' house over the holidays, and it struck me that I felt so different. You know, I've been dealing with a lot of family stuff and personal stuff in my life, and I just kind of had this epiphany, and I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm emerging from all this drama and trauma as somebody who is maybe more stable or understands things from a different perspective. I want to get a phoenix, I think, tattooed on my forearm. And then later on when I opened TikTok, the first thing I saw was phoenix fine line tattoos. I didn't talk to anyone about this. I didn't Google it. So I took it as a sign. The next day I opened Instagram, the first thing I saw was Phoenix definition, like literally like a Merriam-Webster style dictionary entry. And I'm like, okay, it's a sign. I waited a couple months. I started to doubt things. I'm like, maybe this is stupid. I shouldn't. Phoenixes started popping up everywhere. And I'm not totally dumb. I understand that my brain has been trained now to look for phoenixes everywhere, even if I'm not conscious of it. But I still think the fact that it pops up so much is a little random. So I booked an appointment with an artist named Michelle Santana at Bang Bang in New York City. And I was like, I'm going to get this done. And because it's in a prominent spot, I want one of the best artists to do it. And I think if you are into tattoos, you know Bang Bang is like a hot, like the spot. Like they just did Angelina Jolie, like celebs go to Bang Bang. So I'm like, I'm going to spend some coin on this and make sure it looks good. So I went to New York City with my husband for the day. My sister-in-law watched our kids. So it was just the two of us in the city. I went to Bang Bang and I got my tattoo and I loved it. And the thing is, it has already started changing my life in ways that I did not anticipate. So the coolest thing is when I get into the parking deck, we get out, we're in New York. I look down, there's graffiti and street art everywhere. The first piece of street art that I see is literally the word Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
At my feet. And it's the cool thing is somebody pointed this out to me, a Burt Show listener. The bird pictured in the graffiti is not a Phoenix. It's a falcon, like the Atlanta Falcons. And of course, if you're not familiar with Atlanta, kind of one of our bird symbols is the Phoenix because Atlanta, you know, was burned to the ground forever ago and rebuilt out of the ashes like a phoenix, which is a mythical creature, is reborn from the ashes of before. And so I got it. I'm like, nailed it. This is a sign. The book I was listening to on the way to the city, because we were staying in upstate New York, so it was like a 4-hour drive in. The character bought a haute couture dress or whatever, which happened to be the Phoenix dress. Like just random stuff like that. Got the tattoo, got out, huge mural on the side of a building. It's a Phoenix. And I'm like, all right, I probably just, you know, this is going to be cheesy in a couple of years because there's a Phoenix zeitgeist going on right now. And I'm the girl who got the Phoenix tattoo, but I don't care. It felt good. And then it really hit me because what it's supposed to symbolize for me, it's just a very fine line tattoo. What it's supposed to symbolize is I can do what I want and I don't need to live my life for other people, which I have done almost my entire life. The choices I've made are with other people in mind, which is why I didn't get a tattoo for so long because my parents were against it and I didn't want to disappoint them even being almost 40. It's still in the back of your head. That's a very hard connection to sever. And every choice I ever have made is how is this going to affect people around me, which is not a bad thing to think about. Mm-hmm. But when it starts being like it's not negatively going to affect the people around me, but it's going to put me in a negative space just so I can appease people around me, that's where it becomes problematic. And every choice I have made in my life has been, most of them, logical, thought out. What is the right thing to do? And I don't mean morally right. I mean the responsible thing to do. And we were shopping in New York City. I needed a pair of shoes. Okay, we were going to a really fancy dinner that night. And I realized I just had sneakers with me because, you know, I'm old now and I like to wear sneakers when I'm walking around. And I'm like, I cannot go. We're doing a chef's tasting menu. I cannot go to this restaurant wearing like flat foot box sneakers. Like I got to have something nice. So we walk into this store called Rothy's, which I really like. They make recycled shoes out of plastic and I'm trying them on and I'm between like a couple of pairs and one's a pair that I really want. That's maybe not super practical. And the other pair is like, oh, I could wear these to work every day. Like they look nice. And so I go to buy the work ones and I look at the Phoenix and I'm like, screw that. I don't want the work shoes. Why do I keep settling in my life for things that are good enough, but not what I really want? And I know this is dumb. It's a pair of shoes at the end of the day. It's not that much of an expense. But I'm like, why do I keep looking at my life being like, well, I could use these for a practical reason. I'll get these instead of the ones that I really want. So I said, screw it. And I bought the ones I really want.
Yeah. Okay.
And it just that kept happening over and over again. Looking at a scenario where I'm like, well, practically, this would be the responsible route to go. This would be the most useful, utilitarian. And I'm like, screw that. I want to get what I want to get. Why do I keep denying myself these little joys and pleasures? And it really has just unfolded in a way where, you know, I'm not blowing everything up and making other people feel awful or making irresponsible choices, but I'm finally starting to give into myself in a way that I have been denying pretty much my entire life. So I guess this is your sign if you're listening and you're in this position where you're a people pleaser, or you've been denying yourself the things that you want, or you just want to get a tattoo. Go get it. It's worth it.
I've lived my life entirely the other way, doing nothing practical and doing everything that doesn't make sense. So, I'm going to get one that's much more reserved and much more practical.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And you'll hate it.
And I'll hate it, right.
The Burt Show.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words "Jesus saves" written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Go. All right, last time we read her email, her dad was trying to bribe her with $10,000 to have a baby. It was a week ago, so I don't really recall this. Do you guys remember the details on this?
She puts it all in the email when she hits us back.
Okay, cool.
You want me to read the update?
Sure.
Okay, so here's the update from her. It says, I wrote in a little while ago about my dad trying to bribe me to have a baby. I'm 25, married for just over a year, and my husband and I plan to wait a couple more years before diving into parenthood. But apparently, my parents, especially my dad, had other plans. To recap, my dad offered me $10,000. Yes, seriously, to get pregnant now instead of later. He called it an investment in his legacy, said he was tired of waiting, and even tried to pitch it like a business deal, listing off all the things I could do with the money, from a new car to a baby moon to a decked out nursery. I thought he was joking. He was 100% not joking.
Wow.
Well, we thought about it. I mean, we really thought about it.
Oh, and Mo, because you were out with the gout.
out with the gout.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
You were gout of office. If you will. You were such a dork. But we asked people if they had been bribed, and phone lines lit up.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is common.
I didn't know it was common, but we threw it out there to help out this listener in her email, and we threw it out there, and multiple people called up saying, and then one parent, I think it was like $50,000, yeah, something crazy, and made it a competition with this with their kids.
Wow.
And whoever got pregnant first got the 50
no
grand.
No way.
Yep. That's kind of messed up. Okay, so, we really thought about it. At first, I laughed it off. But then my husband and I had a few late night conversations, and honestly, the idea didn't sound so crazy anymore. We realized that, yeah, our original timeline made sense on paper, but we also kind of feel ready now. Or as ready as anyone ever is for something this big. And hey, if we're going to take the leap, why not do it with a little bonus cushion from soon-to-be grandpa? So, we're doing it.
Oh, wow.
They're doing it, all right. We're officially trying for a baby. We haven't told my dad yet. My husband says we should at least get a signed contract first, huh? But I can already hear the victory speech he's going to give when he finds out. The man is going to act like he won the Masters. Anyway, I just wanted to send an update and say thanks for reading my original email. If anything, your show made me feel a lot less weird about this whole situation. And hey, if this all works out, I guess my future kid can say they were the best investment their grandpa ever made. Wish us luck.
Good luck.
I mean, the logic in it. Look, we're going to have a baby anyway. We got $10,000 on the line right here, right now. Let's do it now.
But you're trading in those last years of true freedom. Mm. Like, having a kid is one of those things that you can't, no takesies, backsies. You can't return it, as far as I know.
Well, some parents bounce, though.
Take the 10 grand and drop the baby off at the grandparents' house.
I think this might have gave my mom an idea, too.
How much money, Mo?
What would it take?
It don't take more than 10.
25.
I get to work.
The Burt Show.
It is a badge of honor. It's a badge of honor for a mom and a parent to take their kid to Monster Jam, but to do it with two toddlers and volunteer to do it with two toddlers. This is the real Gracie.
Yeah. Yesterday was a long day. I ventured to two places that I have never gone to in my 14 years having lived in Atlanta. First was I ventured to the South Side, headed to Hampton, and went to the Atlanta Motor Speedway for Monster Jam. And Bert's birthday was yesterday. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
And you and your girlfriend were going to go do the Beltline with some friends. She was looking for a babysitter for Asa, and I had already planned on going to Monster Jam with a neighbor and her two boys. And I, being the most amazing wife ever, let my husband out of Monster Jam and be like, we just got back from vacation. The house is a wreck. And he wanted to catch up on laundry. And let's be honest, the man just wanted some time to himself. And I don't blame him. So I was like, okay, you stay home and I'll hit up Amanda and see if Asa wants the extra ticket. And I'll take Asa and Jimmy with me to Monster Jam. And I believe in my capabilities. For the most part. And the reason why I even threw that out there is because I knew I had my neighbor Charlotte and then her mother-in-law and Nana. Uh-huh. So Charlotte, Nana, and then her two little boys, Luca and T-Bone. His name's Theodore. We call him T-Bone. And so I was like, no, we got this. Three adults, four kids, we got this.
So I was next to Amanda when you called and told her that you were going to be taking her son. Uh-huh. And at the time, I just thought it was you and it was going to be the two kids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what kind of craziness is that? She out of her absolute mind, but then found out you had some backup there.
Yeah, yeah, I had backup. So here's the thing, though. Like, you know, where we live, Atlanta Motor Speedway, that's an hour drive there, right? So I literally felt like I lived four lives yesterday. So we drive to Atlanta Motor Speedway. We go to the pit party. So we're there and you get to meet the drivers and you get to get up and close and personal with the monster trucks. We rode a monster truck. I don't even know how that happened.
Wow, you got to do all that?
Dude, yes.
It was your pictures online yesterday were amazing. When you're watching Monster Jam from like the seats from high up, you know they're big trucks. Mm-hmm. But watching you guys stand next to them, the height difference and how huge those tires are. And then when they put like 11 people in the truck for your drive through, right?
Yeah. So there was like we got to ride Gravedigger, but they have set it up and rigged it up where it's literally like a monster truck ride. And so for 2 minutes, they whip you around this field.
Wow.
And like you were buckled in, you were holding on to handlebars.
Well, Gravedigger in Monster Jam equals Michael Jordan in NBA.
Okay. Okay. Gravedigger is the GOAT.
He's the GOAT, man. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Yep.
And now they have Son of Digger. I don't know.
Is that right?
Jimmy and Asa were all about Toro Loco. Okay. They were so excited about Toro Loco and Megalodon. Like that's like they have names, they have personalities. Ugh. Like it's a whole thing.
It's fun, man, but it is fun.
So we do the pit party and then we go back out to the parking lot to tailgate, and they were so thrilled to sit in the back of the car and like have a, you know, parking lot picnic. We got to experience our first porta potty.
Oh.
So the boys got to do their first, and the whole time Jimmy's peeing and he's watching, he's like, why is it blue? Why is it blue? And I'm like, so it doesn't stink.
I'll explain later. Let's get out of here.
And like a true, I'm like, don't touch anything. Like, please, dear Lord, baby Jesus, don't touch anything. And then we go back into Atlanta Motor Speedway to actually watch the show. And it was just like, even though it was open air, it was still so loud. Like your seat vibrated from like how loud the monster trucks were.
So much better to see it at Motor Speedway, though, because inside, I think you and I talked about this yesterday.
Oh, the exhaust.
Oh, the exhaust gets into like your lungs and your nose. And at the end of it, usually when you blow your nose, all the black comes out of the nose.
Oh,
man.
Wow.
It's no joke. So, but and then we had our hour ride back and the kids were great. We didn't lose a kid, so there's that. A kid didn't get run over, so there was that.
Two wins.
But man, dude, when I got home, I was done.
Oh, I bet.
I was jammed up.
Let's go to Costco. I need some wine.
So that was all day yesterday. Saturday night, Kaylee's wife, Erin, had her birthday party in downtown Alpharetta. Now, I've been to Avalon more times than I can count, but I've never been to downtown Alpharetta. And let me tell you, that place
is lit.
I told you, man.
So we go to Taffer's Tavern for dinner, and it's like there's like almost 20 girls at a table, right? Well, girls. There's 20 women at a table for Aaron's birthday. And then we leave there, and we go to Roaring Social, which is a speakeasy.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard that's the place to go.
It's really fun.
Oh, my God.
I think it's the best place in Alpharetta.
There was a live cover band of like 80s and rock music and stuff like that. So we're in, like, we go into this. I walk in, I feel like I'm in another world. And I'm like, are we sure this is still downtown Alpharetta? Like, I am so perplexed. I had way too much fun Saturday night that when I got up, I did Monster Jam with a full-blown hangover.
That's impressive.
When we rode in Gravedigger, I got off of that thing and I was like, this might be the worst mistake in my life. I don't know what I was thinking, but I did not think this through. But yeah, this was a wild weekend from like one end of the spectrum to the absolute other. So yeah, if you haven't experienced Monster Jam, 10 out of 10 recommend, not hungover, but 10 out of 10 recommend. And if you haven't hit up downtown Alpharetta and done Roaring Social, oh, and Abby, I tried to be a good wingwoman. I found you a dude. And I was like, but granted, I was wasted. But I had backup. He was super hot. So he was the cop that was working at Roaring Social.
Okay.
So he's in like his full like uniform, right? Like he's like full on cop. He's not like security guard or whatever. He's like full on cop and very handsome fella.
Okay.
And so Aaron and I are like, I go, Aaron. Like I am so wasted. And I go, look. He's perfect for Abby.
He's a living, breathing man.
He was, but he had the brown, floppy hair. And then he was like, he looked young, but we had to figure out if he was married. So we were doing laps around the cop to see, but his hand was in his pocket. And knowing Kaylee's wife, Aaron just walked up to him and she's like, yo, are you married?
Yep, of course.
Let's get right to it, man.
And I was so embarrassed and I don't know why. Unfortunately, he was married.
I think you have us so well trained on exactly what you're looking for that yes. I think I had the same thoughts yesterday. I was at Lady Bird yesterday.
Lady Bird is like where I go to shop.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, it looked to me like there were 15 guys in there that were absolutely your type.
I'm telling you, the Lady Bird to Painted Park Pipeline, it is like going to Target and going man shopping.
Oh my God. And then this guy wanted to buy our entire table drinks at Roaring Social. But I was like, I was done. Like, I knew if I had another one, I was going to have to visit the bathroom.
That cop wasn't going to be married for much longer.
No. So the server comes up and he's like, all right, what would you like to drink? And he's like, no, I'm good. He's like, no, what do you want to drink? And I was like, no, I'm good. He goes, ma'am, there's a man buying you a drink. And I go, I don't want to vomit on the table. I said, no.
That's a good reason. Yes. That's a real good reason. Uh-huh. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
So Kristen got into my head early this morning. And now I can't get it out of my head.
Are you still thinking about this?
Still thinking about it. Listeners won't even let me stop thinking about it. I was talking about a break the rules bucket list, right? That's kind of like things that not necessarily are illegal. How do you explain it? You're breaking the rules. Things that you would put on a bucket list to make you feel alive by breaking the rules a little bit.
It's an unorthodox bucket list. Because when you think bucket list, you think skydiving. You think like travel destinations. Mm-hmm. Like you want to go to Fiji or something like that. No, this fool over here wants to rob a bank.
He's like, yeah, it's not illegal. Like things that aren't necessarily illegal.
Wants to speed 120 miles per hour down the interstate. You know.
Run from the cops.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Here.
Yeah. What are you going to say, Kat?
Murder someone.
That might be on yours. That one's not on mine. But I was telling Kristen, I used as the example this morning to these guys that I had a new one when I went on vacation this week. I saw that escalator that goes from when you get off of the plane train and you go up to baggage. My bucket list, break the rules bucket list item would be to run up the down escalator and see if I can make it. And Kristen's like, you can't make that. You'd never be able to make that.
Listen, that is, it's not like your typical escalator you would see at a mall, for instance, right? Like this is about, I think, twice the length of that. Like this is a high, tall, long escalator. And we just came back from the Keys. So I literally just on Friday was on that escalator, got off the plane train, got on there going up. No, I'm going to take a left because that's where all the Delta baggage is. Mm-hmm. And as I'm going, like as you're going up it, you said you wanted to run up the down one. And I'm like, I don't think homie can make that.
I don't see it.
I think I can make that. I really do. I think I can make it.
Like, I know as far as, like, your strength, like, you're a specimen as far as, like, your biceps and your chest and all that stuff. But this is about cardio, baby. And I know you do some cardio, but at the same time, that's a long way.
It doesn't seem that long to me, man.
What?
Now, again, I might be looking at this as a much younger guy. You know, when you get older, you still see yourself as the guy that can do all the stuff back in the day, from back in the day. I might not be able to, but I would really like a challenge at it.
Like, I know there's no way. There's no way I could, like, hoof it up the down escalator at the airport and make it all the way up there. Yeah, I would never make it.
I agree with you. You could.
Don't project that on me.
But also, you're the same man that had a conversation with your teenager Hollis about how long it would take security to tackle you when you ran out into a soccer field.
Well, to be fair, I'm always the one saying that I would get tackled in 10 seconds. He says he could be out there for like 7 minutes or something.
No, okay,
7 minutes.
Get out of here, man. All right, so she says this morning. Now it's stuck in the back of my head.
You are so competitive.
And I'm going to be at the airport tomorrow, so I thought, look, maybe I'll talk to the people that I know at the airport and we could somehow, some way do this late at night, which was your idea. Because the challenge wouldn't be while there were people on it. It's just to see if you can do it.
Yeah. Well, but you have to remember, too, Atlanta, it's literally the world's busiest airport. Mm. So you would have to be at a very, very odd hour at the airport in order to be able to do that. Now that I'm thinking about it, they're both going up.
Yeah, from the plane train. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't go down. Yeah, there is no down.
They're both going up.
That's why I was confused. I was like, escalator are we talking about?
Yeah, there is no down.
That's why I thought you were talking about running up it.
There's got to be another one.
There has to be.
Right? Okay, if there's not.
Can they reverse it just for us?
I mean, it's going to be that late. Right? All we need is one.
Yeah, because all of them, literally, they're all going up.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Maybe they could reverse it for us.
just a couple minutes.
I'm not pushing my luck. I've been jockeying for that picture for 3 years. I finally got that. I'm not messing with it now.
I was about to say, I'm like, we literally just got your photo in the airport. Let's not push our luck here.
The press conference for that thing is tomorrow, by the way. It's going up, I think, tomorrow.
Oh,
awesome. Anyway.
Your face is going to be on the board as of tomorrow?
As of tomorrow, I think. I think it goes up. The press conference is tomorrow that I'm attending. So okay. I'm assuming right after that they put the people up on the boards that have been selected.
And I know because they're doing the press conference because there's other people who are being bestowed this honor at the Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, which you've already told everybody, even though you weren't supposed to. So we won't do that again because that's going to be for tomorrow for the airport press conference.
I can tell you guys all of it on Wednesday.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, okay, so do they have everybody in the same rotation or will we see other people more often and you'll be just like, bloop, every now and then?
That's a good friend right there. It's cool that you're up there for 5 seconds every month.
So it's not only on that one at the escalator, but it's also on the like sub billboards around mm-hmm. all the terminals also. So they didn't commit to the big one. They haven't said, I just assumed that, but maybe it's going to be the one next to the Sbarro. I don't know. But I'll know more tomorrow.
Okay.
Anyway, here's where I was going with this. If the airport's like, okay, hey, that sounds fun, but, you know, we got security concerns. We can't reverse the escalator for you, Bert. then here might be an option. I just got this on Instagram. P1 here. If you want an escalator challenge, you need to go to the Peachtree Center MARTA station, the southeast corner. It is literally one of the longest escalators in town. They've actually used it to fill some of the movies here, and it's not nearly as busy as the airport at the or the escalator airport.
I thought the tallest escalator in the world was at the CNN Center.
Now,
used to be the CNN Center.
I don't know that.
Because that's a tall ass escalator as well.
The one at the CNN Center.
In the CNN Center. Like when you went in, when you walked in and there's that food court down there and there is this like massive escalator.
I'm not committing to the largest escalator in the world to run up it, but I can do that one at the airport.
I think it'd be close. It'll be a race.
Okay, Hong Kong has the world's largest escalator.
That's
tallest.
Where we going?
Yeah.
Okay. when we take off.
All right. So when I'm at the airport tomorrow, I'll ask them if they can do it. If not.
No, you are not.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not?
Sure I will. I'm an ambassador, man.
It's the time to ask.
I was asked to be an ambassador. That's like a key to the airport. I can get on any flight without a ticket. That's what I'm assuming comes with
this. This is the time.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
It's the most wonderful time of the year for Instagram baddies everywhere because it is once again time for them to head out to Palm Springs for Coachella. Now, they might have felt like they took a little bit too much of something over the weekend because some of these headliners, you know what? I thought they were children's artists, and apparently they still are. So apparently, Yo Gabba Gabba, which is like a children's mascot group, kind of like the Wiggles, but they're all in like monster suits. They performed at Coachella, and they even brought out special guest Weird Al Yankovic, braving the desert. You've done your full beat. You've got your low cut tops on. You know, Alex Earl is out there flying high on a gummy, and then Yo Gabba Gabba with Weird Al Yankovic comes out. Like, that's, you're not getting your money's worth there. But one of the biggest performances that people are talking about is up and coming artist Benson Boone. He's had quite the year ever since some of his tracks went viral on TikTok. You probably know him from that song Beautiful Things that we play all the time on this station. Well, he actually brought out Brian May from Queen to perform Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, he was on American Idol and didn't even make it that far on American Idol. And then his track went viral on TikTok. And now I feel like he has totally replaced that void that Harry Styles left, where it's like a little fruity straight man with long brown hair who does pop music and performs really well. He has really filled that void for the girlies, and he's killing it. He does his little kick flips. He does his big high notes, and he's rocking it.
I was reading yesterday that all these outdoor music festivals, the ticket sales on them have been downtrending for years and years and years now because they started live streaming. So people are like, wait a sec, they've outpriced themselves, first of all. It's like $500 is the average to get in a like Coachella or Rolling Loud. So it's been downtrending the last couple of years. They're not even selling out like they used to.
Wow. The two headlines that stuck out for me was, one, all of the surprise guests at Charlie XCX's set, which was incredible. And apparently you had to wait 12 hours or something. Like, there was a Coachella line to like that, like cars were in queue or something for the camping site, and people were in like in their cars waiting for 12 hours or something.
12
stupid
hours?
Waiting 12 hours to camp is crazy.
Yeah, there were no updates, apparently. No bathroom breaks, no food, no water. They were just stuck trying to get into like, I guess it was the car campgrounds, and they were like, they paid $500-$600 a ticket.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah, the experience you see online with celebrities is probably going to be very different than what a non-celebrity is going to experience.
Yeah, the people that are having, quote-unquote, the most fun are the people that can afford the private jets to fly out there, and they can afford the Airbnb in Palm Springs and a private car to get them in and out of, like, the VIP sections. Like, that's how you're going to make it slightly more comfortable. But even then, like, I'm the target demo for Coachella. Like, I'm a girl in my 20s. Like, I'm the type of person that should enjoy Coachella. I gotta be honest, it doesn't look fun to me.
No.
It looks hot. It looks like you're going to be dehydrated. If you're me, you're camping. That seems very dangerous to me. I don't know how the women are doing it. Like, do you have locks outside of your tent? Do you hire a security guard? It doesn't logically make sense to me, all to be like in the back row of a mosh pit for Charlie XCX, who's
lip singing anyway.
And it's an expensive ticket for anybody. And if you're in your 20s and you watch the news at all, you're not really sure where the economy is going to go over the next couple of months, you're not spending money on that ticket.
Yeah, not me for sure. Okay, now something else that felt like a fever dream other than the Yo Gabba Gabba set at Coachella is this Rosie O'Donnell story that has everything to do with Lyle Menendez. So apparently back when the Menendez brothers were on trial in the 90s, she had spoken out in support of them, saying that she really believed that they had murdered their parents out of self-defense. And then apparently they had written her a letter and thanked her for it, but she never responded to it. So now fast forward, Rosie watched that documentary about the Menendez brothers that got so popular in, you know, the last year or so. And so she came out on TikTok and supported them. And then Lyle's wife reached out to introduce them. She met him at a prison and visited him. And now Rosie has gone on the record, and this is a direct quote from her. She said, "For the first time in my life, I felt safe enough to trust and be vulnerable and love a straight man." I don't know what Lyle Menendez did to her.
Really?
In their little what are they called, like the meets, like when you go visit someone in prison, visitations.
Are you trying to say conjugal?
No, not conjugal.
Definitely not.
Like, if I'm just gonna go like hang out with someone who's incarcerated, I don't know what that's called. Like, you just go visit them, visitation.
A meet and greet.
They got the seven repeats of the Menendez brothers. So I don't know what has been happening.
Do I get to keep my prison lanyard?
Backstage pass.
Can you autograph for me, Lyle Menendez? Anyway, all right, that was a fever dream. Taylor Swift reportedly sent a cease and desist to Kanye West after he said this about her on social media. I'll tell you what it is on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words "Jesus saves" written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.